From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. In a few minutes, it's Dewhurst versus Patrick in the debate ring tonight. We'll have a preview. And we'll talk to the former education secretary who, before she went to Washington, helped write the state's controversial home rule law. Now, that law has been the talk of Dallas the last few months. Parents, teachers, administrators, and politicians have been buzzing about it. Today, students got their chance to speak. And as KERA's Bill Zeeble reports, they had a lot more on their mind.
Forget for a few minutes those promoting and opposing home rule or promises it could either build a better DISD or doom it. Juliana Bradley says, let's hear from the students. She co-organized SOS, Support Our Students.
We're just trying to make sure that students are really part of the conversations, especially given that in Dallas right now there's so much upheaval in education.
So 70 Dallas high school students got a chance to speak out. With parental permission, they gathered in the future UNT Law School downtown. Hardly any knew about home rule, let alone details of its ins and outs. Instead, they offered their own ideas about how to improve their schools. 16-year-old Rebecca Wu from WH Adamson said it's their regular teachers they need to stick around, not substitutes.
The teacher should be there just like us. And when you push us out of our comfort zone to put us with a total stranger, another teacher that we haven't known on all year, then we're not going to do our best.
Wu said it'll pay off in better test scores for the kids and the school. Tyandria Palmer, a South Oak Cliff sophomore, said more mentorship programs would help.
The reason why is because everybody goes through something. We let our personal life get to us in education. If we have more mentor programs, it'll help us to know how to deal with them problems in education.
Another South Oak Cliff student, Dewan Queen, said problems outside the school need to be addressed too. He mentioned the recent rise in teen HIV and AIDS in Dallas County.
We need to have parents that will step up and say this is the right way to do things, even though it's hard sometimes to face reality and know that our children's having unprotected sex.
Dallas school board members, including Mike Morath, listened and responded.
I really appreciated all the suggestions. I actually wrote down one suggestion that I was going to take back to the superintendent, which was to rate schools based upon the substitute and vacancy rate. I think we can actually do that.
These students covered a wide range of issues, from the pressures they get from other kids about being smart to the way hands-on classes make learning more fun. As for home rule, it never came up. Bill Zeeble, KERA News.
Education has been a big part of the mission for the George W. Bush Presidential Center since it opened a year ago this week. The library hosted almost 450,000 visitors in year one. Margaret Spellings, the Bush Center's president and a former U.S. Education Secretary, sits down with KERA's Vice President of News, Rick Holter, for this week's Friday Conversation.
Margaret Spellings, welcome to the Friday Conversation.
Hey, Rick. Good to be here.
Education's been a key part of the Institute. I know you're trying to become a hub for education reform efforts. Do you ever worry that you'll be seen as a hub for just a certain kind of education reform?
Well, I think what I've learned and what President Bush certainly knows is, you know, there are a few key features in education reform that really cause the needle to move for poor and minority students in particular. And that is some level of accountability and transparency. You know, information is power. Through No Child Left Behind and other policies, which now need to be refreshed and renewed, given the fact that they've been on the books for a while, and we've learned a lot in that period of time. The core idea of holding ourselves to account for the performance of all students and doing something when the system doesn't adequately serve those students is right and righteous. Do the solutions vary? Do we learn more over time? You bet we do.
Now, before you went to Washington with President Bush, you were with Governor Bush in Austin. One of the things I know you had a major role in was writing the home rule law that has become such a topic of discussion here in Dallas as the city considers whether to kind of remake its school system under this law. So what was the thinking when that law was written?
The idea was this, you know, if we were going to be honest with ourselves about holding schools accountable, but how you get there is a matter of local prerogative. We ought to be, you know, very hawkish on local control and local authorities, provided that there are results at the end of the day. I'm sorry that the debate has seemed to deteriorate a bit, but I'm a fan of the process and the philosophy behind it that says we trust local communities, providing they're getting results for students.
So you've seen kind of how it's played out so far in Dallas. If you had to go back and do it again, are there things that you might have tweaked to eliminate some of the confusion?
One of the things that I think people don't understand is, you know, what is the problem? People didn't really understand, well, what is it that we're trying to fix here? And so I think the case making for why we needed this particular tool at this particular time maybe was a little bit presumed that people had those levels of knowledge. And secondly, I would say that I think that the supporters, and I would count myself among them, needed to do a better job of describing what the changes might be. Mm-hmm. What specifically, you know, is it extending the school day? Is it pre-K? Is it funding? Is it teacher placement? Is it governance? And be very transparent about that.
I talked a couple of weeks ago to Colleen Walker, who's the new CEO of the Perot Museum of Nature and Science, and she is really focused on fighting what's known as the sophomore slump. I wonder what you're doing at the Bush Center to take that on.
Well, we'll be having a number of temporary exhibits this year. We're featuring the president's portraits through early June. President Bush is hosting our fourth warrior bike ride down at the ranch, where wounded warriors come and ride with him. And then, of course, our policy work and the commitment that we make not only to our work around the world, but here in this community. And we will be partnering more aggressively with Dallas ISD. Superintendent Miles and I have talked a lot about some ways to work together. And so we want to make a real impact in this community. We're hosting a monetary conference featuring former Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke on May 19th. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of fascinating programming coming up.
Margaret Spellings, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you, Rick.
The two Republicans vying for the lieutenant governor's nomination will take their runoff battle to the debate stage tonight. Challenger Dan Patrick and incumbent David Dewhurst will meet in the studios of Houston Public Media, and the debate will air at 7 o'clock on KERA-TV. Ross Ramsey of the Texas Tribune is on the line now. Ross, thanks for being here. So, what's at stake tonight?
You know, Dewhurst is trying to catch up with Dan Patrick, a state senator who finished unexpectedly far ahead of Dewhurst in the first round. The lieutenant governor is an incumbent. He's the guy who lost to Ted Cruz. There's a worry in his camp that the Republican voters have kind of worn out on him, and he's got to be on the offense tonight.
These two candidates have generated a lot of heat and smoke in the last few weeks with dueling attack ads going back and forth. Has it changed the terrain of the race at all?
I haven't seen the polling. I don't know if it's actually changed the terrain. It certainly changed the tone of it. It's kind of a shirts and skins race now. Dan Patrick's in one of his commercials, one of the Dewhurst commercials, without a shirt on. I think we're going to see this all the way up to early voting on the 19th and the actual election day on the 27th. It's going to be a tough and nasty race.
So how big a hill does Dewhurst have to climb?
You know, again, you'd have to see their internal polling, but they came out of the primary with Dan Patrick clearly ahead and momentum clearly on his side. You know, a lot of the conservative groups that have been driving Republican politics in the last couple of cycles seem to be with Patrick. And a big business group, the Texans for Lawsuit Reform, dumped Dewhurst after the primary and switched sides. They're now on Patrick's side. So the momentum's over there.
You were one of the panelists in the primary debate we hosted at KERA in January, Ross. If you could ask one question at tonight's debate, what would it be?
You know, I don't know how you'd get to it because they're so tricky about answering. But, you know, I would love to hear them say something other than just argue about how Texas is going to be different with one or the other of them in office. If you look at the policy positions they've taken, they parallel each other quite a bit on policy. And I think one of the things voters probably want to know is, how would things be different if I chose from column A or column B?
Ross Ramsey, executive editor of the Texas Tribune, thanks for taking the time.
Thanks as always.